Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus showed us how to pray. Today, we continue our look at the depth and breadth of meaning latent in these sacred words. And on the way, we should each approach God with our petitions. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer is speaking today on secret praying, exploring the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread.
So we certainly thank him for the daily bread, and we pray that indeed we might have daily bread tomorrow. But in addition to that, we have other requests that we begin to bring into the throne room of God. We begin to pray that we will have strength for today, that we will have forgiveness for the day, that we will be able to have all of the needs that we have within our souls met for the day, because we know that God is a God of detail and knows the depths of our hearts, and so we come in faith. And we come to pray. And you know what we discover during this phase of prayer? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Remember the story there of Genesis, where Abraham is willing to sacrifice Isaac, and then he sees a ram caught in the thicket, and the ram dies in the place of Isaac. And he says, Jehovah Jireh, that's what he named it, the Lord will provide. And the Hebrew means, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. You have a need that is pressing upon you that you see no way out of. The Lord will see to it. You're going through a time of financial need, which may in some instances be of your own making, in which case you need some counsel and some help, most assuredly. But you commit this to him, and you commit your circumstances to God, and you begin to be obedient to God even in the midst of failure, and you begin to say, God will see to it. He'll see to it. So what do we have? We have adoration. We have supplication. We have confession. Now notice what it says. I think it is about beginning in verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. You'll notice that the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And some people have said, this is the word for debts. I mean, if you owed a person money, this is the Greek word that would be used. What Jesus is reminding us of is the fact that when we sin, we owe God. We owe God. He's using the word for money, but he doesn't mean money. He means that when we rebel, we owe God. And we can't pay our debt, so the news of the gospel is that God comes along and pays our debt for us. That's what the cross of Christ is all about. And then notice it says, even as we also forgive our debtors. You know, Jesus has some very hard words about this business of anger and hostility towards one another. It says in verse 14, he expands on it, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Boy, we struggle over that. Because we're saying, well, does that mean that God's forgiveness is conditional? In other words, it's dependent. Well, we know that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, that once God grants forgiveness, certainly the forgiveness is granted, and he does so freely. But Jesus is saying in the strongest possible terms that if you are a person who has been forgiven by God, you will be someone who can forgive. And if you are today harboring in your heart bitterness, if when God opens your heart, when you're there in the closet, and he begins to go into the individual closets of your heart, and he sees there a grudge that is nursed, that is taken care of, that is carefully guarded, that is calculated, and it is there, Jesus would say, you had better make sure that you have been forgiven by God, because if you do not forgive others, you will never sense God's full forgiveness, you will never sense his freedom, because people who are forgiven, they are people who forgive. Now, I know that some of you struggle with that, and that's understandable. I don't want you to begin to think that God hasn't forgiven you. Some of you have experienced deep, horrendous injustices. Some of you have experienced abuse. And forgiveness is not just an act, it is also a process. But to simply hold what is in our hearts without the process and without the good faith of choosing to forgive, Jesus would say, look deeply into your heart and see whether or not you've been forgiven. This is the time now in that 1 hour when you begin to confess. And if you're going to confess your faults individually, which should be done, you know, that hour is going to go by pretty quick, isn't it? It's not going to be nearly as long as some of you thought it was going to be. In fact, you're going to look at your watch and see that it's 2 hours. It's 2 hours. And you know why some of you really don't feel God that close is because you've never taken the time to dig that deep. You've never taken the time to dig that deep and to simply say, Father, what is there within me that causes this alienation from others and from you? That's the time that God does his work. So how far have we come? You begin with adoration, you go to supplication, you go to confession, and then you have confrontation, because there's an enemy out there that does not like us at all. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's a good translation, by the way, the evil one. That's what the other aspect of the Lord's Prayer says, and that's the intention there. Lead us not into temptation. In James, it says God doesn't lead anybody into temptation. But the word that is used here is much broader than temptation. I think that Jesus is saying, don't lead us into those kinds of situations where we are going to fall. God does not lead us into temptation in the sense that he causes us to be in a position where he tries to lead us astray, but he does lead us in situations where we are invited to declare our loyalties and where trials come, where we can choose in God's favor. Obviously, what the impression that is being given here is, don't lead us into those kinds of situations in which we will be led to failure. Lead us not into that kind of trial. Not that kind. Trials are okay, but not that kind of trials. And then he says, deliver us from the evil one. And that's where you begin to pray warfare prayers for yourself, for your family, for others, where you begin to recognize now that you are up against a terribly evil being who is going to want to do everything you possibly can do to make sure that you don't spend that hour a week or an hour, whenever that hour might be, really earnestly seeking the face of God. And then after you've done that, of course, there are all kinds of things that you can pray for. You know the pictorial directory that we've been hearing about during these weeks. And some of you say that you don't want to be in it. That's perfectly fine because you have that choice. But, you know, if you were in it, many of us use that pictorial directory as a means of prayer. You go through, you look at the names, you try to associate the name with a picture, and you commit all of these people to God and your family members to God. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, during this period of time, with a hymnal, you begin to sing to God. And all the members of your family hope and pray that the closet that you have gone into has a very good, solid oak door so that you don't unbless other people through your singing. But folks, that's the nature of the game here. It's you and God. You are praising him through adoration, through supplication, through confession, through confrontation with the enemy. You are praising him, and you're developing a whole network of memories and relationships with the living and the true God. And as a result of that, you begin to understand what it means to go and to pray in private, where just you and God develop that memory bank of secrets. Let me give you some pointers as we conclude. Number one, remember that time spent in the closet is time taken away from other important things. It's time taken away from other important things. You know, there are some people who say, well, you know, I'll pray if I feel like it. In which case, of course, they very, very seldom pray or else God takes them through a keyhole to help them make them feel like it. That's possible. And then there are others who say, well, you know, I'm too busy. That really has to be a very, very humorous thing when you stop to think of it. Too busy for God. Too busy for God. I want you to know that the time that we take to pray is most precious to God when it is time taken from other important things, where we're saying, God, I have something important to do, but what I am going to do now is even more important. I will pray. I will pray. I mean, that puts God first, does it not? You say, well, my mind wanders. Of course your mind wanders. So you do two things. First, in the closet, you take a notepad along with it, because the devil will remind you of everything that you have to do that week. And then so take advantage of it. As they come to mind, you write them down in the notepad. That's a good time to be caught up on all the things that you have to do, because your mind will be flooded with all of them at that moment. So you write them down. The second thing that you do is, your mind is wandering in prayer, and it's not necessarily something that needs to go into the notebook. What do you do with a wandering mind? You give the thing to which your mind has wandered to God, and you commit it to Him, and you take advantage of the wandering mind until everything that your mind has wandered about is now safely committed into the hands of your Heavenly Father. That's the way you deal with it.
You know, this is Pastor Luther, and I have to say that in this day of technology, we have more wandering minds than probably in any time in history. We are constantly being distracted. But isn't it wonderful that God keeps bringing us back again and again to that which is most important? You know, I am so pleased that as a result of the ministry of Running to Win, thousands upon thousands of people listen to us every day. Will you rejoice with me about the fact that we are now in Nigeria throughout the whole country, sharing the good news of the gospel? We're in the Middle East in the language of Arabic, and also in Central and South America, Running to Win is in Spanish. We're able to do this because of the investment of people like you. If you've been blessed as a result of this ministry, it is because other people have invested in this ministry so that we could get the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. It's because of you that Running to Win can advance. Of course, you need more info. Here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. By the way, as you might guess, offerrtw is one word. Offerrtw.com. When you're there, click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer is pointing out the priority of secret praying in a series on sharing secrets with God. Next time on Running to Win, tune in for some final thoughts about the time we spend alone with Him. There's something we'd like to share with you, and it's no secret. This four-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.